Chapter 15. The Manipulator. I'm completely immobilized beneath his stare. I can only imagine the look on my face when I see him standing there, waiting for me. The sconces behind my bed are lit, offering dim lighting, enough for me to get a clear view of him. He's clad in all black, leather boots, jeans that wrap tightly around broad thighs, and a matching hoodie that looks a size too small with the way he fills it out. Still, I can't see much of his face, that damn hood. My tongue darts out, wetting my dry lips. Take off your hood, I say, a slight tremor in my voice. He doesn't, nor does he speak. Anger begins to build beneath the fear. You wanted me to come find you, kitty cat. I did. So take off your fucking hood and show me your face, I demand, my voice rising alongside my anger. A sinful smirk tugs at his lips when he hears his new nickname. He thinks this is a game of cat and mouse. If he wants to debase me with a nickname, it's only fair I return the favor. Slowly, he reaches up and slides the hood off his head, the knife glinting, as if to mock me. I have my own knife, too. Any triumph I felt over my little jab dissipates like butter in a hot skillet, and all the fear I've been feeling triples. His face is unlike anything I've seen. But that's the thing, I have seen him before. The mismatched eyes give him away. In the bookstore, I only saw portions of his face. At the time, he seemed mildly attractive. But now that I see those pieces as a whole, he's devastating. His right eye darker than the midnight sky, and the other the exact opposite. His left eye is so bleached of color, it's nearly white. The scar, starting from the middle of his forehead, slashing straight down through his white eye into the middle of his cheek, is something I haven't been able to forget since I saw him in the bookstore. Despite the ugly scar, it only serves to heighten his utter beauty. A jawline so sharp he could cut diamonds with it. A straight aristocratic nose, full lips, and short black hair just long enough to run your hands through. This is wrong. So wrong. I shouldn't be attracted to a stalker. His presence is so overwhelming it feels as if he's 10 feet tall with a shadow crawling up the ceiling, slithering toward me. This room feels tiny with him in it. I feel tiny with him in it. He takes a step toward me, a hint of that smirk remaining on his face, just the slightest curl in his lips. I take a step back. Finally, my instincts aren't completely jacked sideways, and I make my first smart move of the night.
Cat got your tongue, little mouse?
Briefly, I close my eyes. His voice washes over me, leaving goosebumps in its wake. The sound is as deep as his black eye. I swallow again, nearly choking on the very muscle. Feels like my tongue has swollen to double its size. What do you want from me? I choke out. He prowls towards me. My spine tightens, and despite the gallons of fear pumping through my heart valves, I stay still. When he gets close enough, I'll stab him. Aim for the throat, Addy. My eyes lock with his, and all thought escapes me. He presses the entirety of his body against mine. No shame. No shyness. No, let me buy you a drink first before I press my man pecs into you. The boldness of it has me nearly biting my tongue in surprise. It takes several seconds for my body to unlock. Before I can think about what I'm doing, I swing my knife towards him, but meet resistance when I attempt to lift it. I look down in confusion just to see his bare hand wrapped around the blade. Blood pools in his hand, a small trail heading straight towards my own. I gasp, my eyes widening and snapping back to his. Not a single iota of pain shines in his eyes. Not even a glimmer. He jerks on the blade once, ripping it from my weak hold, blindly tossing to behind him. The knife clatters loudly against something before toppling to the floor, the sound reverberating in the otherwise quiet room. Nothing but my heavy panting breaks the static of silence surrounding us. His presence is a vortex, steadily depleting the oxygen from the room, and even from my brain, because I cannot think straight with his body so close to mine. With a fear coiled tightly around me, the force of it turning my body to stone, I'm useless, powerless. The inability to fight rages in my head, my survival instincts tell me to just move, yet my body refuses to. And then his bloody hand is wrapping around the back of my neck and bringing my body flush with his once more. I cringe at the feel of his life's essence dripping from his hand. The blood feels like menacing fingers, crawling down my spine, staining my skin as if to mark me. To my horror, he lifts his other hand, the one still gripping a much more wicked-looking knife than mine, and brings the tip of the blade to the underside of my chin. He applies enough pressure to force my chin up further, the metal biting into my skin. The slightest curl to his lips stalls the breath in my lungs. The axe speaks of something daunting, something condemning.
"You're even more beautiful up close,"
he murmurs, his sinful eyes devouring my face. I scowl and plant my hands on his chest, ignoring the pure steel beneath his flesh, and attempt to push him away. But he resists the force, his lip curling into a snarl. Tears rim my lids as frustration grows. "Please just leave. I don't want you here. I don't want you. Just leave me alone," I beg. It feels like reaching a hand inside my chest, yanking out my pride and throwing it onto the floor. But I don't give a fuck about my pride in this moment. I just want this man to fucking leave. He presses in closer.
"Are you going to cry, Addie?"
he taunts. My hands are still pressed firmly against his chest. His heart is racing beneath my palms, giving me pause. If I didn't know any better, I'd think he's not as unaffected as he's appearing to be. "No," I lie. "I will absolutely have no problems crying my eyes out after he leaves. But I refuse to show him any more weakness." He flashes me a feral, toothy smile, pulling the blade from my chin and dropping his hand from behind my neck. The second he steps away, I feel a mixture of coldness and relief. But then he's coming right back. The intensity in his eyes holds me in place as he walks to stand beside me, his chest brushing against my arm. He smells like leather and smoke. It's intoxicating. He's intoxicating. Fear has a taste. Acidic, burnt metal. It numbs my tongue. Not just my tongue, but my entire being. I'm so scared, but yet so consumed by him. I keep my head straight but don't let him out of my line of sight. He leans into me, pressing his weight against me. I combat his strength. Rather than being pushed away from him, I'm being absorbed by him. Hot breath warms my skin as his lips trace the outer edge of my ear. Another shiver racks my spine. "I want to devour you," he whispers. My lip trembles. I suck the traitorous lip between my teeth, if only it stops showing my weakness. When I risk a glance at him, his eyes have zeroed in on my lips. "Are you here to kill me?" I ask lowly, trying my best to mask the tremors racking through my body. I'm failing. Slowly, he shakes his head.
"Why would I do that?"
I'm not sure how to answer that. He continues.
"I wouldn't kill you, little mouse. I want to keep you."
"What if I don't want you to?" He smiles.
"You will?"
I open my mouth, ready to tell him about himself and his mama, but the words die on my tongue when he reaches up a hand and swipes his thumb roughly across my bottom lip. He growls in delight.
"Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to allow you the opportunity to run and hide. If I find you, then I will deliver your punishment. If I don't, you go unpunished and I will leave."
I pinch my eyes shut, a small single strand of hope threading throughout the hysteria. I know this house like the back of my hand. I know where the good hiding spots are. There are two bedrooms down there in the hallway on the bottom floor. The first bedroom has a tiny little nook in the back of the closet, just barely able to fit my body in, but I used to hide there all the time when Nana and I would play hide and seek. "Fine," I whisper. "How long will you search for me before I win?" He smiles.
"I'll give you 5 minutes before your ass is bent over my knee."
I huff, jerking my face away from his hand. He lets me go, but the smile on his face grows.
"Your time starts now, Adeline. Better run."
I don't hesitate any longer. Turning, I bolt out of the room, slamming the door shut behind me. I don't miss the amusement on his face when he watches me do so, but I don't give myself time to care. I head straight for the stairs, keeping my steps light as my little legs carry me down the steps at an alarming speed. Halfway down, I nearly pitch forward and face plant, barely catching myself on the railing and keeping the loud squeak from escaping. I feel like throwing up, the adrenaline and fear intense and biting at my nerves. Making a left turn, I aim for the hallway and slip into the first bedroom. Just as I hear heavy footsteps from above, my heart races impossibly faster, and my hands tremble fiercely as I slide. Open the closet door. The metal rattles from my sloppiness. The slight, insignificant sound that feels like thunder rolling throughout the bones of the house. Heaving in a deep breath, I force my body to slow as I glide the closet door closed and hurry into the nook. I'm panicking. My chest is tight, and I have the strangest urge to cough. Could be because my throat is dry and steadily closing. I want to claw at my neck, force the muscle to open back up and let in the oxygen I so desperately need. It's all in your head. Breathe, Addie, breathe. He's not going to find you in here. Nana never could. His footsteps have disappeared from above me, meaning that he's made his way downstairs most likely. I bite my lip hard, tangy copper filling my mouth, and still I keep biting down. Shuffling and distinct noises filter through, and as the minutes pass, my breathing begins to slow. But then I hear the door slowly creak open, and my breathing stutters. I clamp my hand over my mouth, refusing to make a sound, even if it literally kills me. The closet door slides open, and his scent fills the tiny area. Leather. Hint of smoke. And something else. Something that would ordinarily make my eyes roll if it wasn't so goddamn suffocating.
You can come out now, baby.
He breathes, the sound of his voice gravelly and deep. Oh no. No, no, no. I don't move, hoping that he's just guessing.
I can smell you,
he says. And if that's not the creepiest thing I've ever fucking heard, I don't know what is. Risking a peek around the corner, I see him standing at the entrance of the closet. He's not looking in my direction. His head is down, staring off at a random spot on the ground.
You have 10 seconds before I come drag you out.
He takes a step back and I decide to just go for it. I dart out, slipping past him and heading towards the door. He lets loose a deep, cruel laugh. It's a sound I'll hear in my nightmares for the rest of my existence. But I don't stop. I run down the hallway and head for the front door, gasping when I find it locked.
You unlock that door and there will be consequences,
he warns. Startled at his proximity, there's not enough time to unlock the deadbolt, knob and chain. He's too close. Sunroom. It has a back door that leads outside. I turn and out of the corner of my eye, I see my shadow round the corner of the entranceway to the hallway I came from. I bolt through the living room, then the kitchen, and towards the door that leads into the backside of the hallway. Praying that he didn't stay in the hallway, I fling open the door to find it empty. At least within 5 feet of me, I can't see past the darkness beyond that. Heading straight for the sunroom, I barrel through the door and find him already there, leaning against the door that I need to escape out of. I skid on my feet, halting my momentum before I crash right into his waiting arms. I back up, chest heaving and mind racing. ETSKS.
You're very predictable, little mouse. We're going to have to work on that.
I just stand there, frozen in place as I process the fact that I won't be able to get out of this house. He's incredibly fast, but the scariest part is that I didn't hear a single fucking footstep from him. I sounded like an elephant and he was quieter than a mouse. You're not touching me, I hiss, my voice wobbly and rife with unshed tears.
A deal is a deal, little mouse.
He looks up at the night sky. It is beautiful in here.
It is beautiful in here. I think it's only fitting that the punishment occurs here. Don't you think? It feels like we've come full circle.
Feels like we've come full circle. Growling, I finally force my body into action and run right back down the hallway towards the stairs. Maybe I can find a spot to hide again. Somewhere he won't find me this time. My mind turns over every possibility as I swing myself around the banister and charge up the steps. A whisper of wind brushes against the back of my thighs, and when I glance behind me, I see him right on my heels. I let loose another scream, quickening my steps. I make it up the stairs and barrel down the hallway, my desperation and pure panic clouding my head. I can't think, I can only act. I'm halfway down the hallway before a steel arm bands around my waist and lifts me up. No, I scream, kicking at air as I fight his hold.
Oh yes, baby.
He growls, swinging our bodies towards the wall. I grunt, from the impact, leaning my back against the wall and using it as leverage to kick against the bastard of a man. Let me go, you fucking creepy-ass fuck.
Keep talking and you'll just make it worse.
I screech out of breath and growing weaker as he pins my flailing body against the wall.
We had a deal, did we not?
A tear spills over my lid, and then another and another until I'm on the verge of sobbing. Don't cry, little mouse, he coos.
It's going to get so much worse.
His breath skates over my cheek as he presses himself deeper into my body. He's so much bigger, his body enveloping me until all I can see, feel, and smell is him. Warmth, leather, that unique scent that belongs to only him, and his black-clad body surrounding me. I like you scared, he whispers, sending shivers down my spine.
I like you begging and pleading, crying out for God to save you.
I feel the touch of his hand on my face and I flinch away. His fingers lightly trace over my cheekbone to my hair, tucking the loose strands behind my ear.
I like you trembling beneath my touch, uncontrollably.
You're sick, I snap, doing just that. I'm shaking from head to toe and I can't seem to stop it. You think you're only going to beg because you're fighting for your life, but that's where you're wrong. The only way I'll be sending you to heaven is with my cock. He grunts out a deep laugh.
And definitely my tongue. And fingers too.
That will never happen, I hiss, glaring at him with all my might. Or at least I think I am. His eyes are shadowed by the dim light radiating from the sconces. Feels almost like being farsighted. Your face is so close to something, but clarity evades you. The shadows are a part of him. He carries them with him. It's time to punish you, and I've thought of the many ways I could do this, he says, ignoring my jab. It only infuriates me more that he finds my lack of consent is so inconsequential, so worthless.
I'll be nice this time.
I open my mouth, but he cuts me off with a deep growl of warning.
But only if you are too, Adeline.
The click of my teeth snapping together is audible, pulling another grunt of amusement from him. My pride takes a hit and I want to knee him in the balls for it, but I couldn't lift my leg an inch if I tried. What are you going to do? I choke out, the stutter of my words in sync with the beat of my heart. His hot breath fans across my cheek, and I feel the glide of his lips alongside my jaw. I swallow, but I nearly choke from how dry my throat has become. Those lips descend to the column of my neck, skittering along, until he pauses on the spot right below my ear.
I'm going to claim you,
he says, right before his teeth clamp down. My back arches involuntarily, repulsion and pleasure marrying in my nerves, sending misfires to my brain. All coherent thoughts escape from my mind as a result, leaving me with nothing but basic instinct. He groans, his teeth piercing as his tongue laps at my flesh. My mouth opens, a silent scream suctioned away just as his mouth does the same, drawing in deep like he's drinking the essence from my body. And then he's pulling back, dragging his teeth along my skin as he lets go, leaving the spot smarting with pain. My hands press into his chest for stability or to push him away, I am not sure. Though my question is quickly answered when instinct coerces my hands to curl, gripping his hoodie tight and anchoring myself to him as if he's my lifeline, when really he's the one who's killing me. Severe shivers rack my body when he licks a wet trail down to the juncture of my neck. He pauses and it feels like my body is hanging over a pointed knife. I hold my breath, the anticipation rattling my bones. And then he's biting down again, pulling an animalistic sound from the depths of my chest. He does this over and over, leaving a trail of bruises down my neck and across my shoulder. I'm breathless by the time he pulls away.
Good girl.
He breathes, his own voice airy. Somehow that makes me feel worse. I want him to hate it as much as I should have. I can't explain why I do what I do next. I'll ask God later. But in that moment, I'm so overcome with a tsunami of emotions that I reach up and bite his cheek hard. Blood spurts into my mouth, but I don't care, I just bite harder. Maybe I want to hurt him back. Give him a taste of his own medicine. Make him feel whatever I feel. Regardless of the reason, he doesn't take kindly to it. His hand wraps around my throat, pushing me back while he rips his face away. My head thumps against the wall, A dull throb radiating from the spot. He's squeezing tightly, but I don't care. I feel justified. If he kills me here and now, at least I can say I left one last mark on him. He growls low, a sound of frustration and something else that I can't put a name to. I stare up at him, blood coating my tongue and trailing down my chin. As a small amount. I didn't get the chance to rip his face to shreds like I wanted. But the small dots of blood on his face leave me feeling invigorated all the same.
I'm beginning to think you like to be punished, which means I'm just going to have to do better.
Before I can react, he's lifting me up and tossing me over his shoulder. Like a sack of potatoes. Fucker. I snap, banging my fists against his back. I am not a potato. A sharp slap to my ass is his only response. He carries me down the steps, takes a left turn into the hallway and down towards the sunroom. The entire time I fight, kicking and punching. But he acts like a butterfly is attacking him. As if he hears my frustrations, he says.
Baby, the wind can do more damage than what you're doing.
Want to see my teeth again, asshole? I'll keep making your face uglier.
Keep telling yourself that, but we both know my scars make you wet.
He retorts, amusement coloring his words. I growl, frustrated by how fucking unruffled he is. And because he's not entirely wrong. No, dumbass, he is wrong. More curses flood out of my mouth, but they're cut short when he drags my body down his front until my legs are wrapped around his waist and he's cradling me to his chest. Oh, fuck this. I lift my hands to scratch his face, maybe do a little eye gouging, but instead I just squeal. He swoops me backward, my stomach bottoming out as he sets me on the ground, flat on my back. He kneels before me, his arms on either side of my head as he braces himself over me. Above him, the stars are twinkling bright, and the nearly full moon is casting a soft white glow down in the room. It's almost dooming that the sky happens to be completely clear of clouds tonight. Overcast skies constantly plague Seattle. I swallow, tears pricking my eyes. Such a gentleman, letting me look at the stars as you murder me. I mouth off, forcing the words through my tightened throat. I really need to shut the fuck up, but I can't seem to stop myself. Apparently, when I'm in a life-threatening situation, all I can manage to do is make it worse. Some might call it fearlessness, but I just call it stupidity. He supports himself on one hand as the other reaches behind him. Open my mouth, gearing up for more insults when his arm reappears, a gun in his hand. Another audible click of my teeth later, and I'm back to being choked silent with fear.
You let a man touch you in here. Make you come.
He states, his tone blood dry of emotion.
Normally, I'd replace his fingers with my own, but I think you need something else to teach you a lesson.
Okay, I'm sorry, I rush out, my eyes widening as he points the gun to my chest. I really are.
Shoo.
He hushes.
You're not sorry yet, little mouse. But you will be.